This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Friday, July 22nd, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Goldman Sachs is set to plan its first new private equity fund since the financial crisis.
Starbucks shares slump after slowing sales and revenue that missed analyst estimates.
Pokemon Go returns home, officially launching in Japan after roaring success in the U.S., Australia, and Europe.
Donald Trump wrapped up the Republican National Convention.
There can be no prosperity without law and order.
I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower. In sports, the Yankees unable to complete the sweep against the Orioles. They'll host the Giants tonight. Due to the transgender bathroom law in North Carolina, the NBA will not play the All-Star game in Charlotte.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Sector Spider, ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 4.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 32. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 11. And the DAX in Germany, it's little changed. CAC in Paris and FTSE 100 up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 1.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2% today. 10-year Treasury down 2/32. The yield 1.56%. Yield on the 2-year. 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 13 cents to $44.62 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $6.80 to $13.24.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1028 and the yen, 106.18.
Goldman Sachs is set to plan a new buyout fund. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora has that story.
According to a person familiar with the matter, the investment bank could potentially gather up to $8 billion for its first private equity fund since the financial crisis. The fund won't carry Goldman's name. It will instead go by West Street Capital Partners, a reference to the firm's address in Lower Manhattan. Goldman will contribute a relatively small amount of capital to the fund because of post-crisis restrictions on risk-taking by banks. Prior to the 2008 financial crisis, the investment bank traditionally took significant stakes in its funds to help to align its interests with clients. The move shows how Goldman is adjusting to post-crisis regulations like the Volcker Rule. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Radio, New York.
Thanks, Patrice. Stocks in Europe following Asian equities lower. Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde joins us from our Berlin bureau with the latest. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Karen. Yes, stock 600 currently down by about 0.1%, along with the global stocks as they fall. Commodities declining, that's dragging down miners and oil companies in the region. And as investors take profits amid the speculation of less central bank stimulus worldwide. Travel and leisure, interestingly, the worst performer, down some 0.8%, continuing to underperform amid concerns about Turkey's political crackdown and warnings this week from Germany's airline Deutsche Lufthansa and UK's EasyJet. But on the upside, telecoms outperforming, up 1.8%, Vodafone among them reporting better than expected first quarter service revenue amid improvements across Europe and growth in the emerging markets. Meanwhile, another stock to look out for is Philips Lighting, their shares rising 5% after the second quarter profit rose 16% for the world's largest lighting manufacturer as it boosted sales of products based on more energy-efficient light-emitting diodes. Now, plenty of economic news coming thick and fast, shining a light on the effect of the Brexit, with the euro area's service sector showing it cooled in July. That's as the UK's vote to leave the EU clouded the region's outlook, dragging down the Purchasing Managers' Index for the sector to an 18-month low. Manufacturing also slowing. Although data came ahead of expectations, notable that PMI services were also worse for the UK, falling into contraction. Bob, Karen, back to you.
Caroline Hyde, live with us from Berlin. Thank you. Starbucks shares are down 2.8% in early trading after it posted third quarter revenue that trailed analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports same-store sales growth for Starbucks slowed in the Americas.
The world's largest coffee shop chain said sales rose 7.3% to $5.24 billion. Now, that trailed analyst estimates of $5.3 billion. While Starbucks has been adding locations and advertising new items, the chain is grappling with U.S. consumers who've been reluctant to spend. Starbucks also revamped its domestic rewards program earlier this year, which confused some customers and may have driven them to other restaurants. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. General Electric reports second quarter results today, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analysts predict GE will post an adjusted second quarter profit of 46 cents a share, up from 28 cents in the prior second quarter. The second quarter forecast includes a 20 cent per share gain on the sale of GE's appliance unit and 10 cents a share in restructuring charges. The forecast is for revenue of $31.3 billion. Bloomberg Intelligence says it will take an acceleration in the second half for GE to realize its guidance for industrial organic growth of 2-4% in 2016. GE gets 11 buy ratings, 9 hold ratings, and 1 sell rating. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Jeff. Pokemon Go is finally home. 2 weeks after captivating users in the U.S., Australia, and Europe, the smartphone app has officially launched in Japan, sending Nintendo shares up 0.8% today in Tokyo. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The wait is over for Japan. Pokemon Go is now available for Apple and Android devices in the country that gave birth to Pikachu and the franchise 2 decades ago. The worldwide phenomenon has added as much as $20 billion to Nintendo's market value, which is now beating the likes of Tesla and Sony. And the summer just got better. McDonald's unit in Japan, which began selling Pokemon-themed meals, will be the exclusive partner for the app and will have nearly 3,000 stores as Poke Stops and Poke Gyms in the game. Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Yvonne. PayPal and Visa have ended a battle over digital payments that lasted more than a decade. PayPal has agreed to stop discouraging customers from linking accounts to Visa cards and will also share more data with Visa. In return, Visa will offer more certainty on the fees it charges PayPal.
And Roger Ailes has resigned from Fox News Channel, this after accusations of sexual harassment. Rupert Murdoch will now take over as head of the most watched cable news network in the U.S. S&P E-mini futures currently up 4 points. That is 0.2%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Radio. This is Bloomberg. Now 5:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the First Word is brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. The climax in Cleveland. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Republican National Convention came to an end last night with Donald Trump accepting his party's nomination for president.
In this race for the White House, I am the law and order candidate.
Trump told the crowd he'll fight terrorism by creating the best intelligence gathering operation in the world.
We are going to defeat the barbarians of ISIS, and we're going to defeat them fast.
Trump also blamed President Obama for dividing the nation along racial lines. Trump's daughter Ivanka introduced her father.
He is colorblind and gender neutral. He hires the best person for the job, period.
Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton could announce who will be her running mate as early as today. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine is emerging as the leading contender. President Barack Obama is welcoming Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto to the White House today for talks on trade, climate change, and possibly Donald Trump. Nieto says that Trump's negative attitude toward Mexicans, including saying that they'll bring drugs and crime to America and are rapists, has hurt relations with the U.S. The state of emergency in Turkey has put the U.S. in a precarious position. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager has more.
It's hard to overstate Turkey's strategic importance.
Turkey is critical to our operations against the Islamic State. We're flying missions out of Incirlik Air Base.
But now, with Turkey arresting hundreds, if not thousands, of military figures.
How do you partner with this military when it's kind of being gutted through this purge that's going on?
Bloomberg government senior defense analyst Rob Levinson says the U.S. has criticized Turkey's president for his increasing authoritarianism.
But at the end of the day, sometimes we have to balance that against national security interests.
Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Secretary of State John Kerry says airstrikes on the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria are working.
Our coalition and partners on the ground have driven Daesh out of nearly 50% of the territory that it once controlled in Iraq and 20% of the territory in Syria.
Kerry spoke following a multi-nation summit in Washington. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street now, and time for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Happy Friday to you, John Stashower.
All right, thanks, Bob. Can't win them all. Yankees unable to complete the four-game sweep of the Orioles, who started their ace, and Chris Tillman improved to 14-2, held the Yanks to just four hits. J.J. Hardy and Jonathan Scope had hits that drove in a pair off losers C.C. Sabathia. Yanks and Giants tonight at the stadium with Masahiro Tanaka facing Madison Bumgarner. San Francisco best record in baseball at the All-Star break, but 0-5 since. Red-hot Red Sox beat up on Minnesota 13-2. Sox had 17 hits, 5 by Dustin Pedroia. Dodgers won 9-3 at Washington. The ex-Met Justin Turner homered twice off Steven Strasburg, who suffered his first loss, came in 13-0. Miami won 9-3 at Philadelphia. The Mets visit the Marlins tonight. One of the all-time Mets goes into the Hall of Fame Sunday. Mike Piazza will be inducted in Cooperstown.
As far as my hat, I want to be very clear and say that as much as I loved coming up with the Dodgers and will always cherish my time there, I'm going to go in as a New York Met.
Spent 8 years in New York, led them to pennant in 2000. The year after, Piazza hit his most memorable home run, a game-winning blast that came in the first sporting event in New York after 9/11.
That was just a moment, you know, just transcends, you know, the game in a sense that that whole week is something that, as I think back, I get extremely emotional about it.
Ken Griffey Jr. also goes into the Hall Sunday. At the Garden, Liberty lost to Indiana 82-70. The NBA moving its All-Star game next year out of Charlotte due to the transgender bathroom controversy in North Carolina. New Orleans seen as the favorite to land the game. J.J. Watt just had his second back surgery of the offseason, but Houston Texans optimistic their star defender will play the opener. Watt has never missed a game in his career. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thanks, John. According to people familiar with the matter, the New York Islanders are considering a move to Queens after first season complaints about Brooklyn's Barclays Center. The team is in talks with the New York Mets about building a hockey arena adjacent to Citi Field. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points. That's 0.25%. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com or call 1-800-FIND-4WD. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. In the future, the asset management business will be profoundly different. Find out how SEI's global operating platform can help you navigate the new operational frontier at seic.com/imagine. Today, we're looking for earnings from companies including GE and Honeywell. Global stocks are extending Thursday's retreat from an eight-month high, and commodities are declining. Amid signs, central bankers in Japan are becoming wary of expanding record stimulus. U.S. stock index futures are higher, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points, Dow E-mini futures up 33, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 11, the DAX in Germany. It's little change. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.56%. Yield on the two-year, 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.5% or 20 cents to $44.55 a barrel. COMEX gold is also down 0.5% or $7 to $13.24 an ounce. The euro, $1.1036, and the yen, 106.24. Twitter is down 2.8% in early trading. The shares downgraded to market perform from outperform at Raymond James. And Advanced Micro Devices up almost 10% after it reported quarterly revenue growth for the first time since 2014. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Republicans closed out their presidential nominating convention with forceful promises from candidate Donald Trump to be a champion of disaffected Americans. Now the attention shifts to the Democrats and their convention that begins next week. Hillary Clinton could announce her running mate as soon as today. Senator Tim Kaine is said to be a favorite. Legal matters concerning Donald Trump will occupy his lawyer's time today. They'll be in court to try to get a lawsuit dismissed, alleging that the business mogul defrauded customers who took courses with false promises of teaching success in real estate at the now-defunct Trump University. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles, the Red Sox won, the A's and the Nationals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thank you. Is the party over for the S&P 500 index? It's been trading at record levels, but don't look now because futures on the Chicago Board Options Exchange Volatility Index are at the highest relative to the spot level since 2012. In the past, a steepness this severe in the VIX has been followed by a market correction. Peter Dixon is UK-based global equities economist for Commerce Bank, and we're glad to have him join us now. Good morning, Peter. Welcome. This is something else to give investors pause. How concerned might you be about where equities, particularly the S&P 500, might be headed?
Well, obviously there are lots of causes for concern, a lot of international issues running around at the moment, scaring the markets. And I think it's interesting that equities have rebounded very sharply following the uncertainty shock that we saw on the 23rd of June. And it does feel a little bit toppy, it has to be said, because I think there is a sense that certainly the European economy is set to slow down with the UK in the vanguard. And I think as a consequence, global stocks will feel some of the draft.
The 23rd of June, that would be Brexit. Is that the only downside affecting stocks?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, I think there are concerns about where the Eurozone is headed. There's still lots of concerns about what the Fed is going to do. Then obviously there's a Chinese slowdown. Where do we stand there? So a lot of issues, I think, stirring the pot at the moment. Investors really have just plowed into stocks, I guess, because they're the least worst alternative. But there will come a point, I think, where the air gets a little too thin for comfort.
Well, let's talk about European stocks in particular. Can you give us sort of a thumbnail of the mixed data that we've received on services and manufacturing?
Well, I mean, I think from a UK perspective, the data clearly suggests that, you know, the economy has lost a lot of momentum, and as a consequence, that's going to, I think, leave its presence felt on markets fairly soon. Overall, across the continent, stocks have held up reasonably well. Those businesses, German businesses, which have a lot of exposure to the UK, have done reasonably well. But I think investors really have been exerting a knee-jerk response, basically a sharp fall and a sharp rally. At some point, they're going to have to think much more carefully about where we go from here. And I think as the economy cools and they have a lot more information to go on, they'll probably be a lot more cautious with regard to their investment strategies.
We've heard a lot in recent weeks about how much of the hope is staked on the U.S. economy. Is that still healthy? Do we stay calm and chug on?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's all we can do. I mean, the U.S. economy, yes, it had a weak first quarter, but I think all the signs are that the second quarter was better. Hopefully the third quarter will hold up as well. But, you know, it's not a stellar performance by any stretch of the imagination. And I think the Federal Reserve is cognizant of that fact, and that's one of the reasons why it hasn't been more active in tightening monetary policy. But I think there will come a point where the Fed does start to tighten the reins a little bit, and under those circumstances, that's going to perhaps put some clouds across investors' views of where the U.S. economy is heading.
And what's your view? Are we going to see that this year?
I think there's still a chance that, you know, towards the end of this year, the Fed will pull the trigger one more time. I think it's a 50-50 shot at this stage. But whether it's, you know, later this year or early next year, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I think rates in the U.S. have to go high for the simple reason that they're currently on emergency settings, and the U.S. economy is in a far better position than it was in, say, 2008, 2009.
And you mentioned China a few minutes ago. Any special cause for concern there?
Well, I mean, I think in many respects, the issues which have plagued China for much of the past 12 months are still in play. It's just that markets have got other things to worry about right now. But the economy is slowing. We're not entirely sure how it's going to manage the transition from being an export-led economy to a more domestic demand-oriented economy. And I think under those circumstances, given we're not entirely sure what the policy intentions of the government are, I think that we wouldn't need an awful lot to see worries about China resurface. And if we were to get a set of weak data, for example, coming out of there, then that might bring it further to the fore of investors' minds.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter Dixon. He's UK-based global equities economist for Commerce Bank in London. Let's check the markets now. S&P E-mini futures are up 5 points. That is almost 0.25%. Dow E-minis higher by 38 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 13 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris up 0.25%. The DAX in Frankfurt is little changed at this hour. Treasury prices are lower this morning. The yield on the 10-year is up to 1.56%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. And stay with us here on Bloomberg Radio. We'll update you on the latest on the political front as the Republican convention comes to an end in Cleveland and the Democratic convention gets set to begin in
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by Sage Summit, the world's largest gathering of small and medium businesses featuring Sir Richard Branson, July 25th to the 28th in Chicago. Register with promo code business at sagesummit.com for just $99.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. According to people familiar with the matter, Goldman Sachs is planning a new private equity fund that could be as large as $8 billion. That would be its first such fund since the 2008 financial crisis.
The world's two largest providers of oil field drilling and fracking services are declaring that the worst may be over in the oil market crash. Schlumberger says the oil industry appears to have reached the bottom of the cycle, and Halliburton says the North American market is poised for modest growth the rest of this year.
Boeing says it expects to report a $2.1 billion after-tax accounting loss for the second quarter, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the details.
The airplane maker is absorbing the costs from programs with well-publicized stumbles, such as the 787 Dreamliner, the 747-8 Jumbo Jet, and a refueling tanker for the U.S. Air Force. The largest cost is related to the Dreamliner, Boeing's carbon fiber jet, which debuted more than 2 years late in 2011. The U.S. plane maker is writing off two flight test aircraft at a cost of $847 million after determining it can't find any buyers. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. PayPal and Visa have ended a battle over digital payments that lasted more than a decade. PayPal has agreed to stop discouraging customers from linking accounts to Visa cards and will also share more data with Visa. In return, Visa will offer more certainty on the fees it charges PayPal.
Starbucks shares down 2.8% in early trading after the company reported third-quarter revenue that missed analyst estimates. The world's largest coffee shop chain said same-store sales growth slowed in the Americas, climbing just 4% after a gain of 7% in the previous quarter.
Roger Ailes has resigned as head of the Fox News Channel, this after accusations of sexual harassment. Rupert Murdoch will now take over as head of the most-watched cable news network in the U.S.
And futures are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 5.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 40. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 13. And we're seeing some strength in Europe as well. The DAX in Germany up 0.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.4%. And the FTSE 100 is up about 0.3% now. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 6 cents to $44.69 a barrel. This is Bloomberg, the first word.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. This hour, the first word is brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit WestchesterSubaru.com. It was a pretty dark picture Donald Trump painted last night, but he says he can help us out of it. Here's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland is history.
I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
Donald Trump, in his acceptance speech, says America is in crisis and that he'll restore the safety that Americans fear they're losing.
There can be no prosperity without law and order.
Trump is calling for curbing immigration and saving the nation from what he says is Hillary Clinton's record of death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. Another convention speaker who slammed Clinton was Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus.
She lied. And she lied over and over and over and over. She lied.
Hillary Clinton could unveil her choice to be her running mate as soon as today. One of the favorites is said to be Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. Other names Clinton is said to be considering include Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, Labor Secretary Tom Perez, and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Booker blasted the tone that came out of the Republican National Convention.
What really got me here was the level and intensity of the hate and cruelty that I've seen on the floor and coming out of speakers.
French President Francois Hollande told British Prime Minister Theresa May she had a choice: accept unlimited immigration from the European Union or lose access to its single market. Hollande, in a joint press conference in Paris with May, says there can be no free movement of goods, free movement of capital, free movement of services if there is no free movement of people. A French prosecutor says the attacker, who killed 84 people last week in Nice, had planned his assault over several months. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And that brings us to 535 on Wall Street. Now your Land Rover Parsippany, Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. Good morning to you, John Steshauer.
Morning, Bob. The Yankees' four-game win streak had moved them to 2 over .500, the first time since the first week of the season. But they managed just four hits off Orioles ace Chris Tillman, and J.J. Hardy and Jonathan Scope had hits that drove in two as Baltimore won 4-1, spoiling C.C. Sabathia's 36th birthday. Yankee manager is Joe Girardi.
I think you have to look at it. You took three or four from a good Baltimore team, and you have to move on. San Francisco is going to be no easy task. You can't, you know, have a letdown because you lost today. You got to get yourself back up tomorrow and know you're facing a really good pitcher again tomorrow. You got to find a way to scratch some runs across, and Tanaka needs to perform well.
And Giants ace Madison Bumgarner is also a good hitting pitcher. Last time he pitched in an interleague road game, the Giants did not use a DH. They elected to let Bumgarner hit. They say they won't do that tonight. Mets and Marlins tonight in Miami. Marlins are playing well, beat the Phillies 9-3. Washington lost to the Dodgers 6-3. Ex-Met Justin Turner homered twice off Steven Strasburg, who dropped to 13-1. So in the NL East, Nationals lead the Marlins by 4.5 games, the Mets by 6. St. Louis rallied past San Diego 6-5, 4 runs in the 8th inning, another in the 9th. So the Cardinals are 6.5 back of the Cubs. In Boston, Mookie Betts led off the game with a home run, and the route was on. 13-2 over Minnesota. Another homer for David Ortiz, who drove in 4. Dustin Pedroia went 5-for-5. Red Sox lead the Orioles by a half game. As it threatened to do, the NBA has moved next year's All-Star game out of Charlotte due to the transgender bathroom bill controversy in North Carolina. Speaking of moving, the Islanders just had their first season in Brooklyn, but there were complaints from players and fans, and now Bloomberg News has learned the Isles are in talks with the Mets about building a new hockey arena adjacent to Citi Field in Queens. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashdale.
Thanks, John. That brings us to 5:37 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey now for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. Good morning to you, Ed.
Hi, Bob. New York State's tax collections fell $454 million below projections in the first quarter. Personal income tax revenue dropped amid a slowdown on Wall Street. New York's budget is tied very closely to Wall Street's fortunes, and more pain could be in store because three of the top investment banks have slashed their first-half compensation pools for employees. The Islanders could move to Queens. People with knowledge of the matter say the team is in talks with the owners of the New York Mets about building a hockey arena adjacent to Citi Field. The Islanders are also in talks for improvements at their current home at Brooklyn's Barclays Center. Now, players have complained about subpar ice, and fans say some of the views are obstructed. Consolidated Edison has declared a quarterly dividend, 67 cents a share in its common stock, payable September 15th to shareholders of record as of August 17th. Con Ed is one of the nation's biggest investor-owned energy delivery companies. That's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
And appreciate it. Today at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time, research firm Market issues its U.S. Manufacturing Index for this month. Economists are forecasting a gain to 51.5. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has the story from the First Word Desk.
It's been a rough ride for manufacturers. For all of last year, the Market Factory Index averaged 53.7. For this year, it's below that. There are a variety of reasons. The strong dollar and its impact on exports, weakness in corporate profits, stagnant investment in plant and equipment. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Vinnie. Philips Lighting today issued its first earnings report since becoming a standalone company. It says profit in the second quarter rose 16% due to a surge in LED sales, which climbed 25%. Philips Lighting Chief Executive Officer Eric Rondolat spoke to Bloomberg following the earnings report and was asked if the UK's Brexit vote will affect business for the Netherlands-based company.
I used to say that as a company and as a team, we are just, you know, made to face, you know, whichever economical environment we have in front of us. We have businesses and customers established for decades in UK and will continue to serve them.
Philips Lighting CEO Eric Rondolat. In May, the company was spun off from Royal Philips, which is shifting its focus to healthcare. Vodafone also reported earnings today with revenue that beat estimates amid gradual improvements in its European mobile phone business and growth in developing markets. Revenue from its customers' monthly phone bills and network usage rose 2.2% to $13.6 billion. Data compiled by Bloomberg shows analysts had predicted growth of 1.8%. And in South Korea, Volkswagen will stop selling cars implicated in its emissions scandal. A Korean news agency says the ban covers 34 models and the suspension will last at least 3 months. Many VW models are among the top imported cars in South Korea. S&P E-mini futures currently up 5 points, almost 0.25%. Dow E-minis higher by 36 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 11 points. 10-year Treasury prices are lower this morning. The yield at 1.56%. West Texas Intermediate crude down 0.2% to $44.66 a barrel. And you're listening to Bloomberg. Your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning with S&P E-mini futures up 5 points, Dow E-mini futures up 32, NASDAQ E-mini futures up about 12, and the DAX in Germany is up 0.1%, while the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 are up more than 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, the yield 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 7 cents to $44.68 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.20 to $13.2580 an ounce. The euro, $1.1025, and the yen, 106.13. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the 2016 Republican National Convention is now history. Donald Trump accepted the party's nomination for president. In his acceptance speech, Trump accused Hillary Clinton of utterly lacking the good judgment to serve in the White House. Trump once again pushed his hard-line immigration policies, but also promised protections for gays and lesbians from foreign ideology. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is set to unveil her choice to be her running mate. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine is said to be a leading contender. Other names up for consideration include Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles. The Red Sox won, the A's and the Nationals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Well, Edward, the wraps are off. The secret Tesla Motors master plan part due.
Yes, and if the original plan wasn't ambitious enough, this one is even more ambitious. Tesla now wants to create an energy panel plus storage product, expand its range of vehicles to include pickup trucks, or buses, as they're also known, and also wants to develop its autonomous driving features until they're 10 times safer than current US driving conditions. All very ambitious, but this plan is very long on road, but pretty scanty on map. There's not even an attempt to show how this expanded mission will be funded, and that really matters, because the first plan hasn't scored well on this front. As Barclays analysts have pointed out, Tesla's sales have covered just about 27% of its capital expenditure and research and development needs since 2008. Obviously, far more important to Tesla has been the $6.3 billion it's been raising from selling debt and equity securities. The cash burn issue has not gone away. This is a company that is still burning cash, and this is not now a startup. This is a company that now is a number of years old. So the question here is there a defensive element in this, that by focusing investors' minds on these more ambitious goals, it helps investors avoid looking at some of the more mundane details like cash flow and returns?
And we've gone 20 years with Roger Ailes at the helm of Fox News. Now that he's exiting, are there big changes ahead, or do they try to stick with what works?
Well, Mr. Murdoch is back, and it gives him a chance to reshape the network. Obviously, Ailes in his career turned it into the most profitable cable TV news network in the U.S. If you look at the margins, they're just shy of 65% at Fox. That's way more than people like CNBC or CNN. The issues they've got are principally an aging audience. If you look at the audience makeup at Fox, many of them, a much greater proportion of them, are age 65 and over. And the opportunity here is to build that audience and to go for the younger audience. Of course, the question there is it's a much more digitally focused, much more social media orientated audience that's much less reliant on TV and print for its news.
Okay, and one more. Chipotle's recovery remains a work in progress.
Yes, came out with earnings, and if you were waiting for a real recovery, you're going to have to keep waiting. Sales fell 24% from the year earlier period. That's worse than Wall Street analysts had expected. Costs related to the recent food safety issues rose, and food waste also rose. So problems there still coming. Look at the stock. It's still priced at about 50 times forward earnings. That's much higher than rivals. If you look at Starbucks, for instance, it's only on 27 times. And at the same time, for Chipotle, the short interests are still there. Look at how much stock is being taken out to bet against it.
Thank you very much, Edward. A very active morning for Bloomberg Gadfly. You can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO. On the Bloomberg. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host Doom Grosso discusses a lawsuit against the Motion Picture Association for giving ratings of G, PG, and PG-13 to movies that have smoking in them. She speaks with Eugene Volokh, a professor at UCLA Law School, and Terry Ross, a partner at Crowell & Mooring.
Terry, this is being brought as a class action against studios as well as the MPAA. Tell me about the plaintiff's claims.
Well, fundamentally, the plaintiffs are claiming that the rating system being used by the Motion Picture Association is deceptive, in effect, a type of false advertising, that it somehow is blessing scenes that involve smoking and therefore misleading parents into thinking that it's okay for their children under the age of 13 to go see these, that there won't be anything harmful to them in the movie, and then they're making the assumption that by watching smoking in an animated show such as you just saw or other movies, that they're actually doing harm to these young children. That's the crux of the lawsuit.
Eugene, since 2007, the MPAA has included smoking among its key ratings criteria for films, along with language, sex, violence, and drug use. And it describes its rating system as an educational tool for parents to help them making decisions about what movies are appropriate. So if it's intended to be a guide for parents as to what their kids should see, Should they draw a clear line where smoking is concerned?
They could if they want to, or they might not. And I think the public might like or dislike the ratings based on how it is that the NPA administers them. But there's no basis for the government, whether through Congress or through courts, to step in and stop MPAA from expressing what are ultimately its opinions about what is suitable. Let me give you an example. If you look at the PG-13 rating, it says some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Inappropriate. Anybody who sees that realizes that inappropriate is a judgment of opinion. Some people think that any exposure to sex scenes, for example, is inappropriate. Some people think that any exposure to smoking is inappropriate. Some people think that it's just fine to do that, especially if it's not, if something, if say smoking is not glamorized. And in fact, some people might think that in a historical context, showing an environment where everybody smoked without actually showing anyone smoking, that that's inappropriate because that's dishonest. I never smoke myself. I don't want my kids to smoke. I have a 12-year-old and an 11-year-old. I don't think there's anything particularly inappropriate about them seeing seeing cigarettes. It's an opinion. It's a judgment call, as words like inappropriate always are.
And that's Eugene Volek, a professor at UCLA Law School, and Terry Ross, a partner at Crowell & Mooring, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 4:30 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, former Bosnian Serb President Radovan Karadzic has filed a lengthy appeal against his conviction in March on genocide and other charges, arguing that he did not receive a fair trial and the United Nations judges made a string of mistakes when reaching the guilty verdicts. Karadzic filed an appeal in The Hague today, listing 50 alleged errors that he argues amount to a miscarriage of justice. The appeal argues that the errors violated the presumption of innocence, created an unmanageable trial, and made a fair trial impossible.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. And futures this morning, they're higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3 points, Dow E-mini futures up 20, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 8. Stocks still little changed in Europe. The DAX in Germany's down 0.3% now. The CAC in Paris down less than 0.1%. The FTSE 100 is up less than 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 0.3%. The yield 1.56%. Yield on the 2-year 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 0.08 to $44.67 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.40 to $13.25.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1028. And Bloomberg, the first word continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
With the 2016 Games just weeks away, Olympics committees are busy protecting their trademarks on logos and phrases, unless the user has paid for that right. Criticism is fierce and is fueled by the wide range of trademarks. For instance, the USOC lays claim to more than 200 trademarks, including terms like Olympian, Team USA, and Road to Rio. Google wants to dismiss the claims of more than 700 plaintiffs who allege it violated their privacy. The case claims the Google Apps for Education scanned and processed the content of every email received by or sent from a student or faculty account to develop profiles for commercial purposes without users' consent. And the maritime industry is about 2 decades behind airlines in cybersecurity. Experts at a meeting of port officials say there is no cyber information sharing because of competitive pressures. But when ports and ships are hacked, they could face problems with communication, navigation, and theft of bank data.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit bna.com.